الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأن محمدا عبده ورسوله. قال الله تعالى: وقال ربكم ادعوني أستجب لكم. صدق الله العظيم.
Most respected elders and brothers, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our master, our cherisher, our nourisher, our provider, our sustainer. And we send the choicest of salutations, salawat and salam upon our master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammadin wa ashabihi wa barik wa sallim. We also thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala life and the ability to witness the Mubarak month of Ramadan, the great blessings, bounties that are cascading upon the ummah in this Mubarak month. This being the first Jumu'ah in the month of Ramadan, it is a great favor, a great bounty that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the opportunity to witness it. How many people were with us in the previous Ramadan? They had desires, they had hopes that they could also witness this month of Ramadan. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed such that they were not to be with us. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not out of our own doing, but purely as His favor upon us, has given us this great opportunity to capitalize in this blessed and Mubarak month of Ramadan. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions a beautiful hadith, and he says that there are three du'as which are never rejected. Three du'as which are never rejected. The first is the du'a of a fasting person right until he breaks his fast. The second is the du'a of a just ruler. And the third is the du'a of an oppressed person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raises it above the clouds. The doors of the heavens are opened for it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, by my honor, I will certainly come to your assistance, even though it may be after a period of time. Respected friends and elders, this weapon, this tool of dua that we have is something that is most beautiful and something that is most powerful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that there is nothing more honorable in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than dua. Ad-du'a'u mukhul ibadah. Dua, it comes in a hadith, is the essence of ibadah. In another hadith, ad-du'a'u huwal ibadah. In fact, dua itself is the essence, it is worship, it is ibadah itself. Today, dua has become something that is a ritual for you and I. We raise our hands, the imam is making dua. Sometimes we are present mentally, sometimes we are far away. Sometimes when we raise our own hands and we make dua, we wrote, recite different duas, sometimes in Arabic, sometimes in English. Inshallah, these will also be accepted. But what I wish to bring to your attention today is the greatness of this power and this weapon of dua. Dua is such that it is open to every single person. Nobody in the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does not have access to dua. You may be down and out in terms of material means, in terms of financial means, in terms of social status, in terms of family lineage, in terms of your own family, and there may be so many different challenges that you are experiencing. Nobody is willing to come to your assistance. It feels as if you are drowning and there is no way out, but the door of dua is always open to every mu'min, to every believer. This door of dua between a believer and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it does not close at any time. Yes, there may be certain things that will prevent a person's dua from being accepted, but a person always has this door open. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us, and He says that, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمُ دُعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. that your Lord commands you and He says to you that call out to me, I will respond to you. أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ. I respond to the call of the one who calls upon me. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ عَنْ عِبَادَتِي. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gets disappointed with the one who He turns away from calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from making the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In another hadith narrated by Salman al-Faris radiallahu anhu, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is extremely generous and kind. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes shy when a person raises his hands to ask Him of something, that He should return those hands back to that person empty-handed. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is ghani, He is independent, He has no need of you and I raising our hands in front of Him. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so kareem, He is so generous, He is so noble, He is so kind, that He feels shy to return a person who has raised his hands, to return those hands back to Him empty-handed. So therefore dua is a hidden gem. Dua is a hidden gem that you and I need to take advantage of. And we should have full yaqeen that when we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of something, then most definitely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has answered that dua. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, and these verses, ironically or interestingly, nothing is ironic, it's interesting, that it comes along and in between the verses of fasting in the month of Ramadan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. That the background to the revelation is that a Bedouin came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and asked, in his simple understanding, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very close, so when we ask of Him, we must ask in a soft voice? Or is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very far away, therefore we're going to have to ask in a very loud voice? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals this verse, that when my servant asks you with regards to me, then let him know that I am extremely close. أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ. I respond to the caller when he calls out to me. I accept the dua of the one who calls out to me. Therefore, we should have absolute conviction that our du'as are being accepted. It is mentioned in a hadith that there are three outcomes when a person raises his hands and makes dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first outcome is that that person gets what he asks for. That person gets what he asks for. The second outcome is that sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not give him what he was asking for, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala averts a calamity that was going to befall this individual. So this is a great favor from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third option is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not accept that dua or give him what he has asked for, but He keeps it in store for him on the day of Qiyamah. That on the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will call each and every one of us, and He will go through all the du'as that we made throughout our lives. And He will say, did I accept this? And He will say, I accepted it, I accepted it. Or if I did not accept it, there was a calamity, this accident was supposed to happen, this difficulty was supposed to befall you, etc. I moved it out. But then there are those du'as which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us the reward for in the akhirah. And it is mentioned that that person, when he sees that, and he sees the beautiful rewards that have been reserved for him, he would wish, how I wish that none of my du'as were accepted in the world. How I wish that none of my du'as were accepted in the world. Therefore, we should have full conviction, we should have full yaqeen, that our du'as are definitely accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now when it comes to du'a, we will refresh some of the etiquettes of making du'a. Because this is such a great ibadah. Like when we make the ibadah of salah, when we recite tilawat of Quran and Majid, we perform hajj, there are certain etiquettes that we have to carry out. However, we should bear in mind that unlike all of these other ibadat, dua is such a beautiful act of worship that we can actually converse with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wherever we may be, whenever it may be. We don't have to be following all of these etiquettes. Of course, these are masnoon. These are going to help and increase the chance of our dua being accepted. But we should inculcate this habit of having a conversation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout the entire day. In fact, one of the explanations of remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time, يَا أَيُّوَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ ذِكْرًا كَثِيرًا O you who believe, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in abundance. Inshallah, the entire day to be in tasbih, to be reciting La ilaha illallah, subhanallah, etc. Sometimes that is not possible. But how can we be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by talking and communicating with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We're driving to work and we have some difficult challenge at work. Business is bad. Talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are coming to the masjid. We've just had an argument with our spouse. Talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are picking our children up from school. They are having some challenges. Talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of these are included in the act of dua. But we should also set aside a certain amount of time every day wherein we fulfill the etiquettes of dua. Number one, it is best to perform dua, to make dua in a condition of wudu. On one occasion, Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu, he was on the battlefield and there was a sahabi that was about to pass away. He instructs him that go to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam and ask him to make dua for me. He goes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and he mentions that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam agrees. He first performs wudu and then he makes dua for this person. The second act etiquette is for us to try and face the qibla when we are making dua. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it is mentioned in a hadith that when he would make dua, he would face the Kaaba and he would make dua. The third etiquette is that we should raise our hands. We should raise our hands. Ulama explained from the ahadith that when we make dua, we raise our hands and we leave a small gap in between them. We leave a small gap in between them, and also our hands should be raised like this up to our chests, just around our shoulders or just below, as comes in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, with our palms facing upward. With our palms facing upward. So this is the etiquette, that we should raise our hands in this manner and we should make dua. Then we should make dua with humility. We should make dua with humility. We find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions many du'as of the anbiya in the Quran Majeed. For example, the dua of Yunus alayhi salam, La ilaha illa anta subhanak, inni kuntu min al-zalimeen. There is none worthy of worship except you. Glory be to you. Verily, I am from amongst the oppressors. With absolute humility, Yusuf alayhi salam, when he makes dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Fatir as-samawati wal-ard, anta waliki fi dunya wal-akhirah. O the creator of the heavens and the earth, you are my protector, you are my savior, anta waliki in this dunya and in the akhirah. So we humble ourselves before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We exercise this humility and we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the next etiquette, that when we commence our dua, it is mentioned in a hadith that we should commence it with the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and with salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. On one occasion, a person comes into the masjid. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is watching him. He performs his salah. When he finishes his salah, immediately he says, Allahumma ghfirli warhamni. Oh Allah, forgive me and have mercy on me. How many times it happens to us as well? We're finishing salah. We're in a rush to go somewhere. Very quickly we wake up and we're out. What does Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam say to him? He said, what you should have done is that you should have finished your salah. You should have praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as He should be praised, as He is fit to be praised. And then you should have sent salawat upon me, and then you should have made dua. Another person comes in, he performs salah, he praises Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he recites durood upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam says to him that now you should make dua, because after these acts that dua of yours is going to be accepted. Imam Nawawi rahimahullah mentions that it is therefore mustahab at the beginning and at the end of a dua to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to recite durood upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Very simple. If a person doesn't know the Arabic praises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we can praise him in whichever language we wish to praise him. Imam Qurtubi mentions that it is masnoon at the end of the dua to recite, and that is why many of our a'imma, when they finish the du'as, they recite Subhana Rabbika Rabbil Izzati Amma Yasifoon. Glory be to you, Subhana Rabbika, to your Lord. Rabbil Izzati, the Lord of honor. Amma yasifun, from what they have ascribed or described him with. وَسَلَامٌ عَلَى الْمُرْسَلِينَ, and peace upon the messengers. وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. So there is praise and durood that is included in this. Therefore it is mustahab. In another hadith it is mentioned that the dua is suspended. A dua is suspended except when there is durood before and after, then that dua is taken up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should ensure that we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we should ensure that we recite durood upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now we come to the aspect of when should we be making dua. The month of Ramadan is a month of dua. We heard in the hadith in the beginning that a fasting person's dua is accepted right until the time that he breaks his fast. So from there we understand that the month of Ramadan is a month of asking from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a month of beseeching from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Which of us does not have needs? Which of us does not have troubles and trials and calamities and difficulties at home, at work, wherever it may be, in schools, in colleges, etc. Everybody, whether it is at an individual level, whether it is at a community level, whether it is at a global level, each one of us has got needs. Therefore, we should avail ourselves in this Mubarak month of Ramadan and ask of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then there are certain additional times of the day and night wherein du'as are accepted. And this is from amongst the etiquettes of dua, to make dua at those times and in those places where there is a greater chance of acceptance. For example, at the time of iftar. At the time of iftar. We mentioned this verse at the beginning wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in between the verses of fasting, the rules and the masail of fasting, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala slots in these verses and in these pages, this beautiful verse wherein he says that when my servant asks with regards to me, then tell him that I am very close. Ulama have extracted from here that there is a subtle hint that at the time of iftar, because it is in between, we're talking about the start of the fast and then the breaking of the fast, and then we slip in the aspect of dua. Therefore, one of the hints here is that du'as at the time of iftar are accepted. Therefore, Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhuma, a great sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he would gather his family at the time of iftar, specifically to me, as you and I need to introspect. What is happening in our lives at the time of iftar? We are so concerned with regards to the iftar. We fasted the entire day. Alhamdulillah, we've managed the entire day. But when the time of iftar comes, then it is as if we have lost our minds. We are so focused and so engrossed on eating all the beautiful delicacies that are there in front of us. Our women folk at home, they are busy preparing the iftar right till the time of adhan going through. Rather, we should take some time out. Get to the masjid early. Finish our preparations at home a few minutes in advance and sit and make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because this is a very blessed Mubarak time. Then the time of Sehri is also a blessed time, a time when du'as are accepted. One is that it is the last third of the night, and throughout the year, the last third of the night is a beautiful time. Anybody who has a need and he wakes up at this part of the night and he raises his hands to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will find that his dua will be accepted. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with the Mubarak day of Jumu'ah. The period just before Maghrib, between Asr and Maghrib, on a Friday, ulama have mentioned that this is a time of acceptance of dua. So today, we have a double jackpot. We have a double jackpot. We have the month of Ramadan. It is the time of iftar and it is also a Jumu'ah. So at least, if nothing else today, let us make this firm resolution that we will be in the masjid at least 5 minutes before iftar, and we will raise our hands and make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then there are so many other occasions and so many other types of du'as that are not rejected. For example, the dua of a parent for a child is not rejected. The dua of a traveler, it is not rejected. The dua that a person makes for another person in absentia, he makes dua for somebody else that is not there, that dua is accepted and an angel is appointed and will say that the same ameen to you, for you as well. You are making dua for barakah of risk for that person, this angel has been appointed to say, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept the same for you as well. So my respected friends and elders, in conclusion, we spoke about the importance of dua. We spoke about the importance of dua in the month of Ramadan, wherein the dua until a person completes their fast is not rejected in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We discussed the various ayat and ahadith wherein the virtue of dua has been mentioned, the importance of dua has been mentioned. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us that ud'uni, call out to me and I will respond to you. Then we discussed that we should have firm yaqeen, firm conviction that our du'as are always accepted. One of three outcomes we discussed, that either the du'a is accepted, you get what you want, or a calamity is removed from you, but your du'a is, what you ask for is not given to you, or the reward is, get to the akhirah, you will wish that none of your du'as were accepted in this dunya. And then we discussed the different etiquettes of du'a. Whilst there are etiquettes of du'a, we should also remember that we can converse with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at any time and in any place. And finally, we discussed some of the special times, places and occasions when dua is accepted. For example, between adhan and iqama, this is also a mubarak time. Duas are accepted. Immediately after the fard salah, duas are also accepted. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the correct understanding. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to engage in meaningful dua in the month of Ramadan. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun ala al mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.